Lux presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Walter Pidgeon, Donald Crisp, Maureen O'Hara, Roddy McDowell, and Sarah Allgood in How Green Was My Valley. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. When our curtain rises tonight, it will disclose a scene far removed from the battle-scarred world we live in now. A scene out of yesterday's world. And like the little girl who stepped through the looking glass, you're invited to cross the footlights and spend an hour with the sturdy people of How Green Was My Valley. From the original cast of this Academy Award picture, we have Walter Pidgeon, now starring in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's White Cargo, and Donald Crisp, Maureen O'Hara, Roddy McDowell, Sarah Allgood, and a chorus of Welsh singers. Besides the award won by this 20th Century Fox production, How Green Was My Valley brought another Academy Award to Donald Crisp for the finest performance of the year by a supporting actor. And then the Academy made it a triple play by presenting John Ford with the award for directing. And before any of this happened, Richard Llewellyn's novel had been a bestseller. So tonight's play comes well recommended. It's a story of a little Welsh coal mining community, a place where life, love, and drama go hand in hand, because every descent into the depths of the earth must always be a perilous adventure for the men who dig out its wealth. From soldier and stenographer, from farmer and factory worker, have come letter after letter suggesting how green was my valley for this theater. So many, in fact, they stopped being suggestions and became a command. So this is a command performance for all the friends of Lux Toilet Soap. Lux Soap has always been a favorite with beauty. But nowadays, you'll find beauty at work on the farm and in the factory. And unless the papers deceive me, in the army, too. Hard for an old line sergeant to understand, probably. But in this war, woman power is just as important as manpower. And wherever woman power goes to work, Lux Toilet Soap is right there helping to keep up the morale. Here's the opening curtain now on the first act of How Green Was My Valley, starring Walter Pidgeon as Griffith, Donald Crisp as Mr. Morgan, Maureen O'Hara as Anne Harrod, Roddy McDowell as Hugh, and Sarah Allgood as Beth Morgan.
Packing my belongings in the shawl my mother used to wear when she went to market, and I'm going from my valley. And this time, I shall never return.
So begins the story of Hugh Morgan, a man who looks back through 60 years of memories and finds them clear and bright as yesterday. His birthplace and his home is a small Welsh coal valley, once a place of beauty, now ugly and dirty. Towering heaps of slag and belching smokestacks have made his valley so. But old Hugh Morgan is oblivious to all that.
I close my eyes on my valley as it is today, and I see it as it was when I was a boy. Green it was, and possessed of the plenty of the earth. In all Wales, there was none so beautiful. For in those days, the black slag of the coal pits had not yet marred the countryside, nor blackened the beauty of our village. Coal miners were my father and all my brothers, and proud of their trade. Saturday was payday at the mine, and my father and all my brothers would stand in line to receive their wages for a week of honest work.
William Morgan, £3.7.
Thank you, sir.
Eva Morgan, £3.7.
Thank you, sir.
Jordan Morgan, £3.7.
Thank you.
Darby Morgan, £2.5.
Yes, sir.
Owen Morgan, £2.5.
Thank you, sir.
John William Morgan, £1.10.
Thank you, sir.
Guy Nevers, £3.6.
See, Father, £1.10 this week.
Good boy. Now home, all of you, to your mother.
Someone then would strike up a song, and the valley would ring with the sound of many voices. For singing is in my people as sight is in the eye. At home, my mother would be sitting at the door. My father and all my brothers would drop their hard-earned sovereigns into her apron.
There you are, girl.
A fine hard worker it is.
Ivo next.
Your mother.
Ivo?
Yanto, Debbie. Owen. Young William.
It was happy we were at that time, and happier still on the day my brother Ivor was married. I will never forget the party after the wedding, and the wedding cake it took two men to lift, and my father.
Oh, here's a man won't get drunk, can't get drunk, can't get drunk. Here's
it was then that Mr. Griffith came to the door. Mr. Griffith, the new minister from the University of Cardiff. I ran to tell my father.
Dada, the minister is here. Mr. Griffith,
Dada's the minister. Hey, what, boy?
The minister.
Oh, the new minister. Put away the beer.
Put away the beer.
Good evening, Mr. Morgan.
Good evening, sir. A cup of tea, is it, Mr. Griffith? Girl Beth, brew a cup of tea.
Oh, no, don't bother, please. What are you having, Mr. Morgan?
We, sir, beer, sir.
Beer it is, then, if you please.
Beer?
Uh-huh.
Beer. A pint of beer. Hurry.
We found then that Mr. Griffith could sing as well as preach. But my sister Angharad could not sing at all for watching him. My sister Angharad brought him something to eat. And there was a great shyness in her as she spoke to him.
Mr. Griffith.
Good evening.
I have brought you something.
Thank you.
I am Ivor's sister.
Ivor's sister? Then you must be Angharad.
Yes.
Well.
All around, the valley echoed with our joy. Happy then, all of us. But soon, very soon, there would be trouble at the colliery.
Notice, beginning August 3rd, the sale of wages in this mine will be reduced 1 shilling 2 pence.
That night, my father stayed late at the mine to talk to the owners. When he came home, my brothers were waiting for him at the table.
Sit down, Yanto. Sit down, all of you. Supper.
We were waiting for you, Father. We want to know what happened.
The cut is only a few shillings. There will still be plenty for all of us.
Why should there be any wage cut, Father?
Why, Daddy? It is because they are not getting the old price for coal. Come eat your supper.
May we speak first?
Well, Yanto?
The owners have not given you the real reason for this cut.
Huh?
Ever since the ironworks at Dallas have closed down, the men from there have come to the colliery willing to work for any wage. So ours come down. And this is only the beginning.
Nonsense, Yanto. A good worker is worth good wages, and he will get them.
Why should the owners pay more if the men are willing to work for less?
Because they are not savages. They are men, too, like us.
Men, yes, but not like us. Would they deal with you tonight?
No.
That is because they have power and we have none.
How will we get power, then? From the air?
No, from a union of all the men.
Union, is it? I had no thought I would ever hear my own sons talking socialist nonsense.
What is sense? Unless we stand together.
Silence! I'll hear no more about it.
This matter is too important for silence.
It is not more important than good manners.
They will punish you for acting as our spokesman, Father. We must do something about it.
Let us all stand together and see how they will act then.
Right. The men will come out if we say the word.
Willem, I will not be a plank for your politics. I will not be the excuse for any strike.
What, Father?
Enough now.
It is not enough.
Owen.
I am sorry, sir, but...
Hold your tongue until I have given you permission to speak.
I will speak against injustice anywhere. With permission or without.
Not in this house.
In this house and outside.
Leave the room.
I will also leave the house.
I too will leave. I'm with you. We can find lodgings in the village.
All of you then. For the last time, come sit down. Finish your supper. I will say no more.
We are not questioning your authority, sir. But if manners prevent our speaking the truth, we will be without manners.
Get your clothes and go.
Dada?
Yes, you. Yes, my son. I know you are still there.
Weeks the men were out as the strike moved into winter. Any man who was not their friend became their enemy. They knew that my father had opposed the strike, and now it was they opposed him. One night there was a meeting in the hills. My mother made me take her. She stood before the men in the snow and faced them with fury in her eyes.
Wait! Wait! Wait till you have heard me! I am Beth Morgan, as you all know.
I have come up here to tell you what I think of you all. Because you are talking against my husband. You are a lot of cowards to go against him. He has done nothing against you, and he never would. And you know it well. To say he is with the owners is not only nonsense, but downright wickedness. There's one thing more I've got to say, and it is this. If harm comes to my Gwillem, I will find out the men, and I will kill them with my hand. And this I swear by God Almighty.
With my mother holding firmly to my arm, we turned and passed through the ranks of strangely silent men and into the bitter wind. For hours, it seemed, we stumbled through the snow toward home. Then on the low wooden bridge over the river, blinded by the storm, we slipped and fell into the icy water. On a rocky ledge, I found support and held my mother clear. How long it was we were there, I cannot tell. But when they found us, it was to carry us home, near to death. For weeks, I lay in my bed. And then one day, I heard Mr. Griffith speaking to the doctor outside my door.
Well, doctor, how long for the little one?
It's hard to tell, Mr. Griffith. His legs were frozen to the bone. A year, 2 years, quiet like that. But I can't promise that he will ever walk again. Nature must take her course, Mr.
Doctor,
Griffith.
Doctor, why did he come? I think he heard you.
Well, I was just explaining.
Let me go to him. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, sir.
Now, where is the light I thought to see in your eye? Are you afraid, boy?
I...
You heard what the doctor said, huh?
Yes, sir.
And you believed it? You want to walk again, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Then you must have faith. And if you have, you will walk, no matter what all the doctors say.
But he said nature must take her course.
Nature is the handmaiden of the Lord. I remember one or two occasions when she was given orders to change her course. You know your scripture, boy.
Yes, sir.
Then you know what's been done before can be done again for you. Do you believe me, Hugh?
Yes, sir.
Good. You shall see the first daffodil out on the mountain in the spring. Will you?
Indeed I will, sir.
Then you will. Now, here is the book I have brought you.
Treasure Island.
Uh-huh. I could almost wish that I were lying there in your place, if it meant reading this book again for the first time. Read it, boy. And I will come back and see you soon again.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes, Aunt Harriet.
I couldn't let you go without thanking you for giving comfort to my brother.
It was only my duty, girl.
Oh, no, it was more than duty.
Yes, Hugh is a fine boy. And you are a fine family.
Will you be coming to supper soon, Mr. Griffith?
Later, perhaps, when you are finished with doctors and such.
I will hurry them away then.
Good. For many months, I lay there and my mother upstairs, and we could talk to each other with tappings on the wall. For the great day when she came down into her house, on my father's arm, she came to my bed and stood watching me with diamonds in her eyes, her hand to her mouth.
You, my son. My son.
Mama, your hair. It's all white.
It's the old snow got into the boy.
Then she touched my cheek and kissed me fiercely. My father tiptoed to the door and beckoned for my brothers to come in, for they had returned to the house to live.
We have come back, Mother.
Oh.
In an instant, my mother was in their arms, not knowing whether to laugh or cry.
Yato. Daddy. Owen.
Come, girl, come.
Then outside we heard the voices, the men of the mine coming to sing for my mother.
Willem.
Will you come to the door, girl?
But... what is it?
It is for you, girl. Come along now. Easy now.
Willem, for me?
Here comes the natural halo, rising to joy our halo, and I am the sun for Daddy Mentra, Mentra Gwen.
Well, come, say something, girl. Say something.
What can I say?
You found plenty to say the last time you spoke. It should be easier now with friends.
Well, come, come and eat, everyone.
It was a gay time. We laughed and sang fit to burst our lungs. Even old Mr. Parry, the doerist of the elders in our church.
Good evening, Yanto Morgan.
Good evening, Mr. Parry.
Yanto, I haven't seen you in chapel lately.
I've been too busy.
What business, may I ask?
Mine?
Huh? Only asking a civil question I was.
And having a civil answer, Mr. Parry, I have been busy with the union.
The union, ah. Unions are the work of the devil. You will come to no good end, Yanto Morgan.
At least I am doing something. Not talking a lot of rubbish in chapel.
Yanto. Yanto. Why do you think we of the chapel talk rubbish?
My remark was not aimed at you, Mr. Griffith.
Then aim it. Aim it, my boy.
Very well. Because you make yourselves out to be shepherds of the flock, and yet you allow your sheep to live in filth and poverty, and if they try to raise their voices against it, you calm them by saying their suffering is the will of God.
Yanto. Enough now.
Mr. Morgan. Yanto. I have not expressed my views here because I have no wish to interfere with a family disagreement.
You have my permission to speak, Mr. Griffith.
Well, then, here is what I think. Have your union. Alone you are weak. Together you are strong. But remember that with strength goes responsibilities to others and to yourselves. For you cannot conquer injustice with more injustice. Only with justice and with the help of God.
Mr. Griffith, are you coming outside your position in life? Your business is spiritual.
My business, Mr. Parry, is anything that comes between man and the Spirit of God.
The deacon shall hear that you've been preaching socialism.
Mr. Parry!
Lucio, devil's keep for it.
Yanto, Gwilym. He is our guest. Now, enough. Best girls, give Mr. Parry a pint of home brewed and put his pipe back into his mouth.
I will give him a good clout with the frying pan.
Oh, no, now, now. Come. A bit of singing, is it? A song, all. Come.
Down the sea, my son, when the wind, oh, when the wind.
Hi, Harrod. In the kitchen again?
Oh, it is hungry they are.
Here, let me help you with the fire.
Mr. Griffith, will we always be in your debt now you have made us a family again?
Ah, there's enough coal, I think.
Oh, look at your hands. They need cleaning. Here, let me see. Oh.
Why, what is it?
Why, your hands. They are like my father's and my brother's. Have you been down the mine?
10 years while I was studying.
10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here, now a bit of soap.
Oh, no, no, please don't bother. I'll get it.
Now, look, you. You are king in the chapel, but I will be queen in my own kitchen. Now, the hands, please.
You will be queen wherever you walk.
What does that mean?
I should not have said it.
Why not?
I have no right to speak to you so.
If the right is mine to give, you have it.
In just a few moments, Mr. DeMille and our stars, Walter Pidgeon, Donald Crisp, Maureen O'Hara, Roddy McDowell, and Sarah Allgood will bring us Act Two of How Green Was My Valley. And now, here's a young business girl greeting her roommate, a bit enviously.
Hi, Mary. Oh, lucky you to get home early. Phew, what a day we had.
Supper's nearly ready, Jane.
Oh, wonderful. I'm certainly for a cozy evening right here at home.
Darling, now don't get mad, but I promised we'd both be at the USO dance at 9. They needed more girls.
Mary Lou Davis, if you think...
Oh, now, Janie, be an angel. There's plenty of warm water in the bathroom, and look, here's a nice new cake of Lux soap. Oh, you'll feel lots different after your beauty bath.
I know you will.
And later...
Oh, to think I might have missed this party.
Gosh, it's wonderful dancing with you, Jane. You're mighty sweet, you know.
Score one for Jane's smart little roommate. She knew what a wonderful beauty pickup a Lux toilet soap bath can be. Try it next time you're tired and have a date to keep.
Cover yourself all over with the rich, creamy Lux soap lather. Active lather that carries away perspiration, every trace of dust and dirt in a twinkling. Relax a few moments in this fragrant, delightful bath. When you step out, how soft and smooth your skin feels. And most important of all, it's exquisitely fresh. You're sure of daintiness, sure of skin that's sweet. Hollywood screen stars use their Gentle Complexion soap as a daily bath soap, too. They love the delicate perfume Lux soap has, a flower-like fragrance that clings lightly to the skin. You'll find this satin-smooth white soap makes a truly luxurious bath. Get 3 cakes of Lux toilet soap tomorrow. Now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act 2 of How Green Was My Valley, starring Walter Pidgeon as Griffith, Donald Crisp as Mr. Morgan, Maureen O'Hara as Ann Harrod, Roddy McDowell as Hugh, and Sarah Allgood as Beth Morgan.
While I lay in the wall bed recovering from my hurt, the strike was settled and the men returned to the mine. Always through that time, I kept my faith that I would walk again. Then one bright, windy day in early spring, Mr. Griffith came for me as he had promised. He carried me to the top of the hill above our village.
Now then, boy, down you go. There. Now, put your feet apart and stand on them.
Yes, sir.
Now, you can walk, you, if you try. Come, lad, walk to me. Walk over here. One step. One step.
Oh.
And now another. Come on. See?
I'm walking. She's walking, I am, sir.
There's a good lad. There's a good old man you are. Now, rest a bit, eh?
Mr. Griffith, I have walked.
Of course you have. And you have been lucky, Hugh. Lucky to suffer and lucky to spend these weary months in your bed. For so God has given you the chance to make spirit within yourself. And as your father cleans his lamp to have good light, so keep clean your spirit.
How, sir?
By prayer, boy. And I don't mean shouting and mumbling and wallowing in religious sentiment. Prayer is only another name for good, clean, direct thinking. When you pray, think. Think well what you are saying and make your thoughts into things that are solid. In that manner, your prayer will have strength. And that strength shall become a part of you, mind, body, and spirit.
Yes, sir.
Now then, up on my shoulders, boy. And remember, the first duty of these new legs is to get you to chapel on Sunday.
Oh, they will, sir. They will.
My new legs carried me to chapel, and home again, too. And it was on that Sunday that Mr. Evans came to call on my father. Mr. Evans, the owner of the mine.
Yes, yes, yes. Come in, come in.
What under the blazes?
Who is it?
Good morning, Morgan.
Oh, Mr. Evans. Good morning, Mr. Evans. Sit down, sir.
Thank you, Morgan.
Your pardon. A pail of water, sir. I've been soaking my poor feet, sir. Beth! My boots! My boots! Sit down, sir.
Now, Morgan, to business.
Yes, sir.
I come here on a very delicate mission, Morgan.
No trouble at the mine,
Morgan. No trouble, but it worries me.
Yes, sir.
I'm here to get your permission, that my son Yestin may have permission. Bless you, Morgan.
Thank you, sir.
Now, where was I?
Permission.
Oh, yes, permission. That my son Yestin may have permission, with your daughter Anne Harrod's permission, to call upon her. There we are.
Your son and my... Oh, ho, ho.
Well, Morgan?
We are a very proud family, Mr. Evans.
Ah, ha, ha.
You have my permission, Mr. Evans, to give your son permission
to speak to Aunt Harrod with her permission. Oh,
thank you, Morgan. I'm very much obliged to you. He's just outside. I'll tell him I'm much obliged.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good day.
Beth, my boots. My boots, girl.
And so it was that wealthy Yestin Ivans came to ask for Aunt Harrod in marriage. And Mr. Griffiths knew of it and stayed away from our house. For a whole week, we never saw his face. Until at last, Aunt Harrod could wait no longer.
Who is it? One moment.
Aunt Harrod, you shouldn't be here.
I couldn't spend another night without knowing what has happened. What is wrong?
Wrong?
Oh, you know what I mean. Why have you changed towards me? Why am I a stranger now? What have I done?
No, you've done nothing. The blame is mine. Your mother spoke to me after chapel. She is happy to think you will be having plenty all your days.
Oh, yes, and Ivan.
You could do no better.
Oh, I don't want him. I want you.
Aunt Harrod, I too have spent nights trying to think this thing out. When I took up this work, I knew what it meant. It meant devotion and sacrifice. That I was perfectly willing to do. But to share it with another, do you think I'll have you going threadbare all your life, depending on the charity of others for your good meals, our children growing up in cast-off clothing, and ourselves thanking God for parenthood in a house full of bits?
It could make no difference.
No. I can bear with such a life for the sake of my work. But I think I would start to kill if I saw the white come to your hair 20 years before its time.
Why? Why would you start to kill? Look at me. Are you a man or a saint?
I am no saint, but I have a duty towards you. Let me do it. Go back to your house, Aunt Harrod. It is late. Yestin Ivans were married at the chapel by Mr. Griffith. My sister left our village then to live in Cape Town. My brothers Gwillem and Owen left too for America, and our house was lonely without them. Mr. Griffith used to come of an evening to tutor me for school. Many problems he gave us, me and my father, sitting in the kitchen by the stove.
Now then, the bathtub holds 100 gallons. A fills it at the rate of 20 gallons a minute, and B, at the rate of 10 gallons a minute. Got that, Mr. Morgan?
20 and 10 gallons. Yes, sir.
Now then, C is a hole that empties it at the rate of 5 gallons a minute. How long to fill the tub?
Oh.
They're silly. Trying to fill a bathtub full of holes, indeed.
A sum it is, girl, a sum. A problem for the mind. For Hugh's examination into school next month.
That old national school. It's silly they are with their sums. Who would pour water in a bathtub full of holes? Who would think of it, only a madman?
It is to see if the boy can calculate, girl. Figures, nothing else. How many gallons and how long?
In a bathtub full of holes.
Now I know why I have such a tribe of sons. It is you, Beth Morgan, is the cause. Look, you, Mr. Griffith. Have you something else?
The decimal point.
The decimal?
Yeah.
The decimal point, then. And peace to my house.
I'll go and scratch.